ADD Cast, Volume 1, Sunday, May 22nd, 2005. Welcome, people, to the inaugural ADD Cast. I'm Paul Fisher. I'm broadcasting to you from my basement. I have the windows open so you can hear the birds in the background. And right now, I'm just enjoying the long downturn of a very relaxing weekend. When I started out deciding to do what to do for a podcast, I had lots of ideas, as anyone with ADD is bound to have. And I was very worried about confining myself to one niche and labeling everything I do as, somehow or other dealing with attention deficit disorder. And this is not anything at all about medical advice. It's just one guy living with attention deficit disorder all his life and... what it means, what it is, and there's just a lot of things that people can't fathom. So it's my chance to enlighten the world and let them know, what goes on inside my head and the heads of a lot of other people that have this condition. And I was really, really worried about it. When I first decided to do a podcast, and then I was listening to Dave Slusher of the Evil Genius Chronicles, and he was talking about being manic depressive tending to melancholy, and that was, I don't know how to put it. It's like this, the clouds parted, the sun came out, and suddenly it became all right for me to talk about, the stuff that goes on inside my head, someone who's as high up in the ratings as Dave Slusher is. I don't know what his ratings are, and I don't care about the ratings. I find him very interesting to listen to. I think he's got a pretty interesting life. I like the music that he plays most of the time. When you're manic depressive tending toward melancholy, some of the music can be depressing, and I tend to like upbeat music. So there you have it. I have ADD. I was, officially diagnosed. Oh. Laundry's done. Diagnosed in junior high school or high school, and back then they just called you hyperactive. But I'll talk more about that later. I've been listening to podcasts since December. A guy by the name of Chris Boyd, who I was doing some work with, he and I work for different companies, but my company sells his company's stuff, and I had gone down to his lab to work on some network equipment that we do. It's very specialized stuff, so I'm not going to go real deep into it. We both walk around with Macintosh G4 PowerBooks under our arms, and we run a lot of the same software. We're into a lot of the same things. So he and I really, I guess you'd call us fast friends. We were just so much alike. It was scary. But he was, he told me go out and download iPodder X and then sign up for the Don and Drew Show, the Evil Genius Chronicles, Coverville, and the Daily Source Code, and the Rock and Roll Geek Show, and just start listening to this stuff. And I was really, really blown away with it, with almost all of them. And about the only one I couldn't listen to is Michael Butler and the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And it's mostly comes down to musical taste. He's really into some kind of heavy metal, hard-driving music that I just don't like. So, you know, nothing against him personally, but, you know, that was like the only one that Chris pointed out to me that I couldn't listen to. Since then, I've added the Laporte Report, which is some audio feeds from Leo Laporte, who used to be on the Screensavers, which was on Tech TV before G4 bought them and rode something wonderful and unique and beautiful straight into hell. I don't know why it is that things like, you know, the Screensavers and Tech TV, who a lot of whose programming I found very intriguing and interesting and really cool to watch, has to be screwed up by, you know, some slicky boy with a marketing plan. But it was. G4 bought them and ruined it. So I was really cool. Really thought it was cool to see Leo with a podcast of his own. And just recently he has had the revenge or the return of the Screensavers, which morphed into Twit, The Week in Tech, TWIT, which you can find at twit.tv. And I've been listening to that, and it's got a lot of the old Screensavers crew on there. And, you know, even without the TV, when they can talk about the stuff that they're interested in, you know, Leo's giving it away for free and asking that you pay $20 a year. And I signed up for $20 a year because it's the kind of thing that I want to listen to. And they do a very, very professional show, and I like it. So there you have it. And the last podcast that I listened to, and probably the one that I listened to the most religiously as far as close to its release date as possible, is the MacCast, which is put out by Adam Christensen. And you can reach them at MacCast.com. Adam reads all the latest news in the Mac technology, which... you know, it doesn't sound like it's a thrilling thing, but I absolutely love listening to him read the news while I'm driving in my car to work every day. We've got about a 25-30 minute commute, and you know, it's just cool here. You know, being able to hear the news that I'm really interested in. Apparently, the laundry is still done. So there you have it. That's what I'm listening to right now. Oh, I'm sorry. One more. One called On the Wing, which is a podcast for bird watchers. And I'm a very avid bird watcher. And unfortunately for myself, I'm very very weak at bird identification. So I've melded my love of photography with my recently newfound love of bird watching. Actually, my love of bird watching is relatively recent. I've only really been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years. But I love taking pictures of little birds, especially during migration season when they're really beautiful. And as with so many other things, I've thrown lots of money at bird watching equipment and bird photography equipment, and I've gotten better in skill and technique as time has gone on, but haven't really uncovered a market, and that's probably from you know, not actually needing a market to sell my pictures. So I'll be posting some of my bird pictures up on my website, and if I can figure out how to make as much money being a naturalist and a nature photographer as I'm making as a network engineer and network architect, I'll be off doing that, and I'll be talking about that. And you know, I kind of doubt I can make as much money, but on the few occasions, which actually number two occasions, where I've been in the presence of someone who shoots for National Geographic or Time or Nature, you know, one of the big nature magazines, I haven't actually had the guts to ask them how much they make doing it. At the moment, it's a pipe dream. Well, maybe it's just a dream. But it's something I love doing. It's something that I'm good at. And I'm, you know, I don't really care if I'm not making money at it. So I want to talk a little about just stuff in general, listening to podcasts and growing up ADD. I was born in 1966, and they really didn't understand, and by they I mean both the medical institution and the educational institution, they didn't know what attention deficit disorder was. If you had problems learning, you were either learning disabled or you were hyperactive. So I was a hyperactive child, and I guess through experimentation they discovered that certain drugs would make children more manageable. In my case, it was Ritalin, and I really hated it. I'll go way more into that. I don't know what to say. I have this whole thing written down. I did this entire podcast, which I think was actually a very good podcast. But I did it using the Griffin iTalk in my car with my iPod. And as I've discovered, the Griffin iTalk is got a super sensitive mic. And I don't know if there's a problem with my iPod's connector on top or if there's a problem with the iTalk in general. But if it wiggles around, so anyway, I tried to like anywhere I put it in the car, the vibration of the car would keep wiggling it, and it would generates a lot of crackles and pops, and just makes it's not even bad audio; it's truly unlistenable audio. And I had done this entire podcast, and I thought it was really good material, and I was talking about, you know, how certain types of music are ingrained in your head, and one of the local radio stations, which used to be a progressive alternative radio station, spontaneously changed to a Latin radio station, and what kind of music I like, and you know how I'm kind of enjoying listening to the Latin music, but it's kind of I don't understand a word of it, so I'm kind of a step removed. But anyway. I lost all that to the Griffin iTalk, and I've been listening to Adam Curry talk about the equipment that he uses, and Drew Domkus and Adam Christensen, and the equipment that they use, and, you know, I'm guessing that there's a problem with my iPod, because I beat the snot out of it. I'm not really good at keeping anything in a pristine condition. And I'm not really all that interested in keeping it in a pristine condition. I use it, and I expect it to live up to my idea of what normal wear and tear is. And if it doesn't, then there will be hell to pay for any manufacturer that can't make a product that will stand the Paul test. Now, I don't know if there's a problem with the iTalk, but I lost the whole original ADD cast. So I sat down yesterday and transcribed the ideas, and now I'm sitting here trying to do a podcast reading from an outline of what I wrote, and it's just not working. There's so much that I want to say and so much I want to cover, and it's not working for me. So I'm just going to cruise past that and look at the list and talk about some stuff in general. And I think I'll talk about ADD for a second and what has been called the drug holiday. And just so you know, I've closed the window and I can hear my wife talking in the background, but I don't know how loud she's going to show up on the track. My sister-in-law is upstairs trying to use Consumer Reports online to get a new washer and dryer. She works at the Pentagon, and she forgot to take her laptop home, and they're having a sale at Sears, so she wanted to do some... She wanted to run down and get it, and I said, you know, don't go spend, you know, $1,500, $2,000 on a washer and dryer, you know, just because Sears is having a sale. You know, do a little research and make sure that what you're getting is going to do what you want, and, you know, in the long run, you'll save yourself some money. So anyway, that's the current state of the background noise, and we'll see how that works out. I kind of don't like... the just absolute dead background noise that a lot of people have behind them in their podcast. So I'm trying to give you an ear on suburbia as I'm talking. So there's this thing called a drug holiday. I forget where I heard about it, but it basically, you know, there are people who are on different types of medications for different brain issues, you know, ADD or depression, and, you know, they stop taking their drugs for a little while. So, you know, periodically I take a drug holiday just to see, you know, how my body reacts when I'm not taking my ADD medication. And I take a mild central nervous system stimulant, and the difference between me on drugs and off drugs is night and day. When I'm on drugs, I'm very focused. I can get massive amounts of work done. I typically don't feel hungry. I don't get frustrated. I can organize big tasks, and I can also do things that I'm not particularly interested in doing, and just breeze through it. And when I'm off medication, I oddly enough, I'm typically happier. But I bounce off the walls. I go in different directions. I forget what I'm doing. Literally, one second to the next, I'll stop. And I'll have something in my hand, and I'll yell out to my wife, "Honey, what was I doing with this?" What can I say? And sometimes, you know, even though you know you're going to be frustrated, and you know that you're going to be bouncing off the walls, and I'm far more argumentative, and I yell a lot more when I'm off my meds. But it's just something you got to do. I think it was two weekends ago, I was trying to set up a secure mail server. I run my own email server, and I literally spent an entire day, probably 12 hours, fighting with getting the postfix email transport program to do encrypted mail, or even authentication before doing mail. And there's 100 how-to guides out on the internet, And, you know, I'm using stock Linux system from Mandrake, and it works great as a web server, but it just I tried every how-to I could find, and I was just caught in this death spiral, and I was, you know, doing the drug holiday, and I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to read the whole thing, I didn't want to go through and really understand what was going on. I was just going, you know, show me bullet points, show me step by step, I'll go do it, yeah, let's go, and if that didn't work, I was on to the next how-to guide, and boom, you know, and eventually just gave up on it, and decided to tunnel my mail using Secure Shell until I could figure out a better solution. And I think what that solution is going to be is to actually move my email server over to a Macintosh. I've got a 1 GHz iMac on my desk, and although I'm spending money like water, I think I may go out and buy a Mac Mini to be a mail server, or take this 1 GHz. iMac and make that the mail server, and go get a maybe a new iMac G5 with a 2 GHz processor and 20-inch screen instead of a 17-inch screen, and relegate this guy into a corner to be a mail server, and I don't know, maybe web server as well. And then maybe trash the Linux box. Pretty much the only thing I do on PCs these days is play games. Everything else is on the Macintosh. And, you know, in the podcasting world, I've been listening to Adam Curry on the Daily Source Code talk about Cast Blaster. And I think it would be really cool to be able to use Cast Blaster, but no PCs, no, they're bad, they're just bad. You know, if you want to play games, get a PC. If you have real work to do, get a Macintosh. And you know, you will hear more on that topic in the future. You know, getting back to the mail server and the whole drug holiday, you know, it was late in the day on Saturday, and I was just massively frustrated and, just wound up, you know, tighter than my whole body was in knots. I don't know what I was tighter than a drum, but, you know, my wife was, you know, like trying to talk to me, and I was just, you know, so frustrated with everything that I just, you know, I just started yelling, realized I was doing something wrong, and stopped and walked off. And of course, it was, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night when it's too late to take any stimulants. So Sunday ended the holiday, you know, It's a quality of life issue, but it's the kind of thing that somebody who's got ADD has to deal with. And in the future, when you hear me talking, I'll try and let you know if I'm on meds or not on meds, and you will be able to tell the difference, my friends. Let me let you know right now, in no uncertain circumstances, me on drugs and off drugs, very, very different thing. So if you're interested in what EDD is like and, you know, what it's like for the people that have it going on inside their head, this is the place to tune, because you're going to find out. So getting back to bird watching, I'm seriously in love with bird watching. I think the birds themselves are amazingly beautiful to watch. I love being out in the woods. You know, I will walk in bare feet through mud and broken rock with a smile on my face and feel 1,000 times more relaxed than sitting in a cubicle with, you know, 50 people chattering and someone standing behind me going, "You have to do your status report on Tuesday, and you have to fill out your time card on Wednesday, and you have to rub your crystal ball and tell us what you're going to do for the rest of the week, because I have to take these pieces of paper, and I have to shuffle them around on my desk for a day, and then I hand them to my boss, and he shuffles them around on his desk for a day, and then he hands them to his boss, who shuffles them around on his desk for a day, and by then you're at Friday, when it's all due." You know, why? I don't understand why people, especially people in big business, haven't got a handle on this thing by now. You know, all your time cards should be electronic, and status reports and things like that should be, there should just be some big groupware piece of software that, you know, you put in what you're doing, you know, Friday morning, your boss, all he's got to do is pick a couple of keywords and make sure you haven't put in anything that's going to make him look bad, and push a button, and it's on his boss's, you know, desk, and then, you know, just read the report. But people spend so much time making sure other people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, which I guess is the whole point of management, but it doesn't really strike me as real management. But I would much rather be out in the woods and watching birds. And there's a place right down the block from my house. It's about 2 blocks away. They call it the I don't want to say the name of a place that's right down the block from my house. But they call it a resource park. And it's a strip of land with a little runoff stream through it that's maybe 100 yards wide and 100 yards long, 150 yards long. And at the end of it is a what is essentially a drainage pond that has an earthen dam at the end of it. And it's just supposed to be drainage for the stream, but some beavers got in there and dammed up the spillway for this little earthen dam. And when I'm talking about a dam, I'm talking about the tiniest thing that you can construe as an earthen dam. It's maybe 150 feet long, and the earthen dam itself is maybe 20 feet high. There's no water behind it except what was behind the beaver dam. But I went wandering through there, and I was just amazed that, you know, I'm 2 blocks away, I have bird feeders out, and there are tons of birds just 2 blocks away that I never see at my house unless I go down to where they live. Case in point were my first hooded mergansers. When you're really into bird watching, birders have this thing called a life list. And, you know, every time when you see a bird for the first time of a particular species, you add it to your life list. And there are something on the order of 10,000 species of bird worldwide. I believe there's something on the order of 2,000 species of bird in the United States. I could be totally off base. I don't know those numbers. I don't have a life list, but I do count life birds. In so far as when I see I get very excited to see a bird that I haven't seen before. And, the hooded merganser, was migrating through, and it was, in this little, marsh that was created by the beavers. And I was, the way I found out about this is I was just wandering through there to see what's there, and I've seen a few interesting birds there, and there was a hawk that was sitting out in the clear, on a branch about 6 foot over the water. And I was up on the earthen dam. I was looking down the length of the marsh. And the marsh is only 100 feet wide and maybe 250 feet long at most. So I took some pictures of this hawk, and I really couldn't get a good view of, I could see it, but it kind of had its front to me, and I think it was an immature bird, so it was very hard for me to tell what it was. And I've got this big honking 400 millimeter lens and a monopod, and I took a few steps, kind of played coy, like I'm not really watching you. And walked around the side of the marsh to where there's a little path, and then walked out into the mud a little bit on the drier parts of the mud, and just, would stand still, take two steps. Stand still for another minute, take two steps. And very slowly I was able to emerge to a point where I could see this hawk, which turned out to be a red shoulder hawk, but I couldn't see the red shoulders at that point. And as I got, closer and closer to the marsh, I was getting out from behind the brush so that I could see the hawk better, and just, really slowly taking my time. And I got some really beautiful shots of the hawk. The hawk wasn't disturbed. I'm guessing I was 40, 50 feet away, and my camera's 8 megapixels and takes great pictures. And, at that range, I just really got some spectacular shots. And, I'm sitting there watching the hawk, and the sun's going down behind me. The light is perfect. I love the late afternoon light for taking pictures of birds. And then I got bored. As will so often happen, I decided to look around and see what else I was missing, because this bird wasn't doing anything. And I'm sure that there was something behind me that was much more interesting that I should have been looking at, because I was, it was just me out there, and if I'm not looking everywhere at once, well, then obviously I'm missing what's behind me. So I looked away, and around this time, the red-shouldered hawk decided to dive. The only thing I could see that was out in the marsh were a pair of mallards. And I'll talk about mallards later. But, so I turn around, and I'm looking in the sky, looking directly into the sun, trying to see, what's going on. And the red shoulder hawk comes. My apologies to you. GarageBand seemed to stop on me. It was actually still recording, but it kind of reached its limit. So I'm recording this end tag in Audacity, and I'm going to try and append it onto to the first piece of audio that I did. And that will be the end of ADDcast version 1. I'd like to thank my sister Audrey Fisher for my opening theme and my closing theme. You can contact me at addcast@gmail.com. And very soon I will have the website up for addcast.net. So www.addcast.net and addcast@gmail.com. If you like what you hear, please vote for me on Podcast Alley, and please also take the time to check out the website. Hopefully I'll have something mindless but interesting up there soon.